In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the gospel reading that we've just heard, we read about how Christ healed a man blind from birth, and on seeing the miracle, was Christ given the Sanhedrin prize by the leaders of the Jews? And did everybody who knew the man who had been born blind congratulate him and celebrate this miracle? No, of course, that's not what happened. What happened was that many had already made up their minds and rejected Christ before this miracle took place. And even when they were presented with an undeniable miracle and all the evidence to support that it indeed was what it seemed to be, they refused to acknowledge the logical conclusions that followed from that fact and would not see. They were willfully blind to the truth. You might ask, why would anyone choose to not see the truth of who Christ is? If you go back to John chapter 3, and you begin with verse 16, one of the most well-known verses in Scripture, but read beyond that verse, Christ explains it very clearly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Christ says he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but he says that people who reject him and don't believe in him are already condemned, and they're condemned by their own choices. Those who prefer to keep their sins rather than to repent and come to Christ don't want the truth. They prefer the lie. This is a choice that they make, and unfortunately many have made and continue to make to the present day. The leaders of the synagogue made that choice, and even this man's parents, who, of all the people who were there, aside from the man who'd been born blind himself, would have been the most certain that a miracle had taken place, because they feared the disapproval of the majority of the people, chose to remain neutral on the question of how their son was healed. It has always been the case that, as St. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In times past, when we lived in a culture in which the vast majority of people claimed to be Christian, that persecution took a more subtle form than it does today, and even more so than maybe in the future for us. And so while the cowardly and the spineless in the past didn't have the courage to live in open defiance of Christianity, and so they observe certain outward norms, lest they be disapproved of, those same kinds of people who have no real inner conviction are too cowardly to stand for those same norms today when it has become politically incorrect to do so. How is it, for example, that we've seen such a radical shift in opinion on the question of homosexuality and gay marriage? 15 years ago, when they did polling on this, it was like 80% of the people were opposed to gay marriage. Growing up and well into my adulthood, I remember seeing people even on secular TV expressing their disapproval of homosexuality. Everybody just seemed to accept that that was the norm. But the shift has happened among these people who have no real conviction and who simply want to be well thought of, because back when they thought that that was what everybody thought, that everybody rejected these things and disapproved of these things, then they wanted to be with the majority. But today, when you have a shift in our culture and you have people who are beginning to approve of these things and to say bad, nasty things about those that don't agree with them, these same people now want to be with the majority, and so their opinions have changed. In times past, even back then, when Christianity was what most people professed to believe, it was still true that if you really wanted to live a sincere Christian life, that there would be choices that you'd have to make, and that if you lived a consistent Christian life, there would be those that would disapprove of you and dismiss you as a fanatic or someone who took their religion too seriously, or were so heavenly minded that they were of no earthly good, or what have you. There was some way that they would sort of snicker behind your back, or maybe even to your face, but it wasn't nearly as overt as it's coming to be. But now, increasingly, the mask is coming off, and the choice is less subtle. But it's not as if all these people were devout believers before, and now all of a sudden they've had a change of heart on this question. It's that they really had nothing behind those positions that they took in the past. As Christ said in the gospel, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Taking up our cross doesn't just mean that we put a cross around our neck and we name the name of Christ. Taking up our cross means that we choose to live the kind of life that Christ lived and to suffer as a result of that. If you wish to be with Christ, you must, like the blind man, stand for the truth regardless of the consequences. But you might ask, well, what gave the blind man such strength? Well, obviously, it's because the blind man had a very powerful awareness of what Christ had done for him. Christ had healed him. That was something that he could not deny. And so no matter how many people were trying to get him to denounce Christ, he was not going to do so. And so if you want to have that same kind of courage, you have to have an awareness of what Christ has done for you. You need to come to know him and his power. But again, you might ask, well, how does that happen? Well, it can happen by you attending the services of the church, not just in body, but in mind and spirit, by coming to understand the faith, by diligently studying the scriptures and the writings and the lives of the saints, and by entering fully into the sacramental life of the church, and by living out that faith in your daily life. And when you begin to do these things, you will begin to see Christ work in your life, and that awareness will come to you, and that strength will come to you. But you have to understand that if you want the good opinion of unbelievers, you can't stand with Christ, because the two are never going to coexist. You're never going to have people who reject Christ, who hate the truth, who reject the light, approve of you if you are really a Christian. And so when you see people who are unbelievers, people who are living worldly lives, approving of you and thinking that you're a great person, you need to ask yourself, what am I doing wrong? Because there's something wrong with that equation. If you're yucking it up with your friends at school or at work who are mocking things that are holy, if you're watching some of these TV shows that we have, especially on cable, where you have these comedians that don't just slightly make fun of things that are sacred, but now overtly mock God on a regular basis, if you are laughing with everyone else at that kind of stuff, then you are not standing with Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 11, St. Paul talks about how the bodies of the sacrificial animals were burned outside of the camp being the camp that the Israelites had when they were wandering through the wilderness, and they had the tabernacle in the center of that camp where they worshiped and offered sacrifice. And then he says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Christ was rejected by most men, and even in death, he was taken outside of the city of Jerusalem and crucified. And St. Paul tells us that we too have to take up our cross and follow Christ outside of the city, which represents the approval of this world, and bear his reproach. If we want to stand with Christ in eternity, we have to stand with Christ here in the present. If we want to be raised with Christ, we have to first be crucified with him. If we want to share his glory in the age to come, we must embrace his reproach in the present age. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.